Hello, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk About It on ESPN Jamestown AM 1400. We're translated on 107.1 FM, and we're streamed online at newsdakota.com. Today, joining us here on Let's Talk About It, we have several individuals with the Ann Carlson Center in Jamestown. We have Emily Kropp, Chris Nitschke, and Felicia Sargent, all with the Ann Carlson Center of Jamestown. And Emily, Chris, and Felicia, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you guys for joining us. Excited because we're going to be doing a new monthly thing where we talk with somebody from the Ann Carlson Center and celebrate the different months there are, because there seems like there's something for every month. And we have Occupational Therapy Month going on through the month of April, which we're going to talk about. Felicia, very excited to do this. We're going to talk about lots of different things for the next foreseeable future.
Absolutely. And we're just going to try to just portray the different ways that not only does Ann Carlson provide services, but as a whole, and just more of a Ann Carlson cares about the community, so that everybody can hear about what National Month it is or what Awareness Month it is, or we may even get as specific as weeks and days.
For
but
sure.
There's a lot of those fun things out there, and just provide that information for the community and the region.
This would be a great way for us to connect the Ann Carlson Center with the community for individuals who don't know what they do and all the different services they provide. We'll get to go over that and cover that. So we have Chris and we have Emily joining us, and we're going to talk about Occupational Therapy Month, which goes on through the month of April. Chris or Emily, tell us what occupational therapy is.
As an occupational therapist, we are able to help people across the lifespan from birth to the end of life, and we help individuals achieve their highest levels of functional independence in their daily routines and whatever activities are important to them. So as a pediatric therapist, we look at if there are any deficits in the areas of maybe if they have cognitive deficits or physical deficits or sensory deficits. We look at how we can help overcome those areas and make them as functional and independent in their daily lives.
For sure. What does it take to become an occupational therapist? Is it something you have to set out for and go to school for? Is it something that you decided that you wanted to do that before you got into being an occupational therapist?
Yeah. well, maybe Chris can chime in a little bit about this too. So
okay.
There are occupational therapists and there are occupational therapy assistants.
Okay.
So currently the profession is moving towards getting an entry-level doctorate for school. I'm practicing with a master's degree, and that was 5 years of school for me.
Okay.
Graduate school included in there. And Chris, if you want to talk a little bit about your path and experience, I guess.
COTA, the assistant degree, is actually a two-year degree currently and usually done at a tech school. We happen to have NDSCS and East Grand Forks that have these programs in the state of North Dakota, and they do a two-year degree. In the future of OT, this will become a bachelor degree, and it will look a little bit different as all of the schooling is starting to add more prerequisites and requisites.
Okay.
But currently, if you are an OT, you have a bachelor degree plus the master's, or eventually it'll be a doctorate program. And I just want to share that kind of the neat thing is where we get to work, we actually partner with a lot of colleges. And so we take on college students all the time, and we're their mentors or their clinical instructors. And so they complete part of their curriculum with us and get to learn with us and teach us as well. And it's a great collaboration between all the colleges in the state. So
that's awesome.
We currently actually have, I think we have 9 colleges that span 4 states that we take students from.
Awesome. Perfect. So it sounds like there's a lot of opportunities there with that as well. Again, Emily Kropp and Chris Nitschke joining us on Let's Talk About It, talking about occupational therapy and Occupational Therapy Month. So other than schooling, Emily and Chris, what else is needed? What kind of drive or what kind of person should you be if you want to be in occupational therapy?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is creativity and adaptability, especially working with in pediatrics. You are never stagnant. You're always thinking on your toes. You have to be adaptable to any situation, and you have to be able to make things motivating and fun, and so you have to be a creative type of person. And obviously we're both really chatty, so somebody who's outgoing and who's able to interact with both parents and children.
For sure. Because it's a wide age that you guys work with on a daily basis.
Correct. When we look at the clients, we look at a whole approach. We look at the environment, the person, the activity, and the and any other factors that come into play. So when we're trying to determine what we should be assisting with when we're working towards the client goals, and it's always according to the client or the child or the family we're serving, what their goals are and trying to meet their outcomes. We don't necessarily have one single plan.
For sure.
We usually have plan A to Z and double A and double B. But creativity and adaptability were the exact words that I would use, as well as that somebody who is really innovative and wanting to be creative and using any tool we can utilize.
Awesome. Perfect. So if you had to describe like the daily life of an occupational therapist, what are some things that you would typically see on the list of things to do for an occupational therapist?
Maybe the easiest way to do it is to really look at what we would do to support somebody in their daily routine.
For sure.
Probably the way I'd want to flip this.
Okay.
That as an occupational therapist, a big part of our learning is based on what we call ADLs, their activities of daily living. So we actually look at your daily routines and what you engage in. So if as a child, their primary responsibility is to be a child and play.
Okay.
So we actually play all day.
See, that sounds fun. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So we're working on all developmental milestones. Are they regulating well? Are they processing the information? Are their skills still developing? What deficits are there? Are those deficits able to be worked through neuromotor pathways? Can we inhibit? Can we facilitate? Can we change those?
Yeah.
Or are we at the point where we just need to adapt to that? We just need to change it and make it easier for the child to do without having to change their demonstrated behavior.
For sure.
So past that, we also work on like toothbrushing, dressing, bathing, eating.
It sounds like it could be like very unique for every single individual.
And it is. And every goal is client-centered. So again, awesome. Coming back to what the goal of the client is or the family, that's where we target it. Some of them come in and they struggle with bedtime. So we talk about bedtime routines and what things we could do to help facilitate a better routine, a better habit, and then a better ritual around it.
Perfect. And you also, Chris, you were saying before we got on air here that a lot of people from all over come to an occupational therapist and come to the Ann Carlson Center for that.
Yeah, I guess part of it was I don't know how many people know what services we provide through Ann Carlson, but as occupational therapists on campus, and that's where Emily and I both come from, we supply occupational therapy services in an education hat where we supply the services to the education program where we have currently
64
wow. students. And some of them are day students, so they travel just to Ann Carlson for day school, which runs 9 to 3.
Okay.
and then we have the children that live and reside with us that we supply education services for from the ages 3 through 21.
Okay.
We do have clients that are younger than 3 and older than 21.
Wow, okay.
For the 0 to 3, we provide their early intervention services as well. So we go down into the dorm and we work, we call them the dorms or the residential area, to work with the staff and the people down there on how to play and how to engage with them and to push them to meet their milestones.
Okay.
For some of our older clients that we have, we still assist with their ADLs and with their routines and their equipment so that they are independent in their daily lives. But we also supply outpatient services. This is through a different avenue. We have our own entrance. We supply OT, PT, and speech. We use the team approach on that end of the building. And then we also do outreach. So if someone at home has a client has a student or a young individual who needs a little help in an area, they can call and ask for assistance, and we send out a team to assess and give recommendations.
Perfect. There's a lot that goes into it. Emily or Chris, what would you guys say if anybody wanted to learn more about occupational therapy, wanted to read more about it, maybe are even interested in becoming it? What would you have to say to those individuals?
So there are a few ways that you can look into the services that we provide or just learning more about occupational therapy. If you're interested in our services, you can check us out at anncarlson.org. And we have a therapy link with more information on the services that we provide there. Or if you're looking for more information on occupational therapy in general, you can visit the American Occupational Therapy Association website, AOTA.org.
I do want to say one more thing. I want to put it out there that although we have occupational therapists at on Ann Carlson campus, and we have an amazing team of 6 currently that serve all of our children that come in and out of the building, Ann Carlson does employ occupational therapists in other careers as well. We have several that are employed as early interventionists across the state. We have some that are part of our ideation and training team. And I'm sure that we have plenty that are out there doing direct support professional staff or CBS staff across the state, waiting until they meet their opening in their career and their next path. So I want to give a shout out to them as well.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
We're celebrating everybody regardless of what hat you're wearing at this time. So
perfect. Well, thank you for adding that. I appreciate that.
One of the things that Ann Carlson offers that we are very lucky to be part of is that we have many resources that are on campus and many resources that exist off campus in our other satellite areas that we can pull together some amazing teams to troubleshoot a lot of different, at the time, barriers to really overcome those limitations. Resources such as assistive technology, behavior health.
Right.
Any other professional, I mean, we have on-staff nursing care and doctors and physician assistants, and to actually have all of those people within the same building to access and use as resources makes us kind of an incredible team.
It really does. It really does. So it's not just that, it's not just occupational therapists that make the Ann Carlson go, it's everybody. So Felicia, Ann Carlson Center, learning about occupational therapy for Occupational Therapy Month this April. Anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I learned a lot. And I think that Emily said the word, and it pertains to us so well. She said independence. And it is one of our mottos, that independence is a gift to all. And using that for Occupational Therapy Month, or probably any of these months and awarenesses that we're going to talk about, it's a key word that we want to use. So
perfect. Excellent. Well, Chris, Emily, and Felicia, thanks for joining us.